In a landmark decision, Royal Dutch Shell has been ordered by a court in The Hague to drastically reduce its global carbon emissions. The oil giant was told it has a duty of care and that the level of its emission reductions should be brought in line with the Paris Climate Agreement. David Tong is a former litigator and a senior campaigner at Oil Change International. He joins me now. David, welcome to the program.
Thanks, kia ora.
David, what makes this case so unique?
This is a remarkably significant case for several reasons. It's the first time that a court has ruled that a big oil and gas company has a legal duty to reduce its emissions in line with the Paris Agreement. And it's the first time that a court has translated the global emission reduction pathways to an actual percentage emission reduction obligation for an individual company. That's really significant because the court has made a ruling about which of the IPCC, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change's pathways, should be deemed to be considered consistent with the Paris Agreement. They've said that the pathway that gives a chance to stay below 1.5 and an 80% chance to stay below 2 degrees offers the best chance worldwide to prevent the most serious consequences of dangerous climate change. So that's really significant. And it's finally really significant that the court has expressly affirmed that all companies, no matter their size or sector, have an obligation to respect human rights. So yeah, remarkable decision in many ways.
So whilst this decision is in the case of Shell, it applies to all other companies, is that right?
Potentially. It applies to companies operating in the Netherlands. It's a decision from a Dutch court, equivalent to New Zealand's High Court, but in the Netherlands.
So what are now the consequences for Shell and other major polluters? How are they? What exactly do they have to achieve and do now, and how long do they have?
Shell has an immediate duty now to take its best endeavours to reduce its total emissions by 45% by 2030. That's in line with the IPCC pathways, and that obligation begins immediately. Royal Dutch Shell has said that it will appeal the decision, but even in the weeks or months before its appeal, it has a duty now to begin preparing to cut its emissions.
David, who were the co-plaintiffs that joined with, I think it's Friends of the Earth, to bring the case to court?
Yeah, the case was brought by seven Dutch NGOs. The first was, as you say, Milieudefensie, Friends of the Earth Netherlands. Then Greenpeace, a group called Fossil Free, which is the Netherlands branch of 350. Then Wadden Vereniging, the National Association for the Conservation of the Wadden Sea, a group called Both Ends that does investment advocacy. Jongeren Milieu Actief, which is the youth branch of Friends of the Earth Netherlands. And finally, ActionAid, along with 17,000 individual Dutch people.
You said that this decision only applies in the Netherlands. Is it precedent setting, potentially, though, for other companies across the world?
Absolutely. It has a huge influence. It will not set a direct binding precedent on courts outside the Netherlands, except perhaps in some of the European jurisdictions. But it will be considered in many other places. In New Zealand, for example, the court in the case Smith and Fonterra ruled that Mr. Smith could not continue claims on the grounds of negligence and struck out two of his claims against Fonterra, but upheld the possibility that there could be a novel tortious duty of care to address climate change. So this case will be considered by New Zealand courts in litigation like that.
What did the judge say? What was the reasoning the judge gave when the decision was handed down?
This was a detailed judgment. The reasoning touched heavily on Dutch law, in particular Article 6 of the Dutch Civil Code, but also drew on the European Convention on Human Rights. Ultimately, the court found that the right to life had climate change implications. and that it was critical also that Shell, having pledged to uphold human rights, actually take steps to meet the commitments it had made to its shareholders and to the public.
David, as you say, Shell said they would appeal the judgment. You've mentioned, I think, and implied that their chances of success may be a little limited. So what do you think will happen next?
What will happen next is Shell will be working with its lawyers to appeal this judgment. It's hard to tell what its prospects of success are. I'd be very reluctant to predict a court judgment in a different country from New Zealand. Even from New Zealand, I'd be reluctant to do that sort of predictive exercise. But in the Agenda case 6 years ago, on appeal, the original claim was upheld, but on different grounds from in the first court. So it's possible that Shell will win on some things, overturn some parts of this judgment, but ultimately that Miller Defence, Friends of the Earth, and its co-plaintiffs will succeed in a different way on appeal. All those things are possible.
It's a fascinating case. How long was the case in the court for?
The case began in April 2018 when Friends of the Earth sent a letter to Shell, giving Shell 8 weeks to reply, saying, if you don't reply and address these concerns, we will sue you. Then in April 5, 2019, the case was filed in court. The hearings were December last year.
David, how will Shell go about implementing these changes, given that 2030 deadline?
Shell will have no choice but to reduce its oil and gas production in the near future. It has already set a net zero target for 2050 across all its operations, but it intends to meet that target using carbon capture and storage very heavily. So to keep selling fossil fuels, keep burning fossil fuels, and then drawing that carbon dioxide back out of the atmosphere through tree planting, afforestation, or technological solutions that remain somewhat untested at scale. Those things will be very, very difficult or impossible to do within the next 9 years. We're not going to have a massive reforestation scheme under Shell Oil's banner by 2030. They planned to do all of this after 2030. So they will have no choice but to actually begin planning to cut their oil and gas production.
So could they still continue mining for oil, but potentially pivoting to using oil in a different way, do you think?
There are questions about the role that plastics will play in particular in prolonging the production of fossil fuels at the point of extraction. However, there are a lot of other environmental concerns around greatly increasing the production of plastics, and it will require a decrease in volume even as Shell tries to find other ways to sell its products.
Yes, because I was going to say, if they are still continuing to mine and using it for other applications, which may have even worse environmental impacts around the world, yeah. Right? It might not actually solve a problem in the end. In fact, it could create a new one, right?
This is always a risk with environmental litigation or environmental policy. You want to make sure that policy you take in one place doesn't cause risks elsewhere. But this case won't push Shell into more plastics. This is something that the major oil and gas companies have already been looking at for years, as they've seen the writing on the wall since the Paris Agreement.
So have the other major companies and Shell, potentially, already started to make changes now, knowing that something was going to come down the line like this decision in the court in The Hague?
Yes, the companies have begun making changes, but nothing like what is needed to align with 1.5. Last year, my organisation, Oil Change International, analysed the 8 biggest oil and gas companies' climate pledges and found that not any of them had done anything that brought them into a sniff test with the Paris Agreement's 1.5 target. Since then, Shell has taken some more action. Shell last year had a target covering only its direct corporate emissions, which are about 10% of its total emissions when you factor in the burning of the products that it sells. Earlier this year, it set a 2050 target that for the first time covered the emissions from burning the oil and gas it sells. So the companies are beginning to do things, but not nearly at the pace that we need.
David, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate your insights and also for coming on the program this morning. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Have a good day.
That was David Tong, a former litigator and a senior campaigner at Oil Change International.